This morning I wanted to share with you, as we begin our lesson, a story. A story that occurred in the latter 1800s. It involved an English poet. His name was Alfred Lord Tennyson. The story goes that he invited a rich Russian nobleman to visit him in the countryside. And he arrived and he embraced him and they spent the evening together. The next day, the Russian nobleman, he got up early before Lord Tennyson and he went out and he took the Lord's horses, his dogs, his guns, and everything, and he went out hunting on his countryside. A few hours later, as it approached the midday, he returned. And Lord Tennyson said to him, "How did you do?" And he said, "I shot two peasants." He said, "I think you're mistaken in the way that you pronounce it. In this country, we use the PH and we call them pheasants." The nobleman said to him, "No, I shot two peasants." He said, "They were insolent to me, and so I shot them." Now, you and I can listen to that story and we can see perhaps some humor in it. But what I'm telling you is this is happening today in our day and age. I have watched in the news this past week about how arrogant people are to one another, how they are so terrible, how they're so angry at one another. These things happen today. Let me tell you about another story that happened in our country, in our day and age, in the area of Philadelphia. A Philadelphian driver was driving down the highway, and there was a road blockage. As the road blockage occurred, the cars, in order to maneuver around, had to take turns. One would go past the blockage, and then the other one would go past the blockage. Well, this man patiently waited in line. And finally, it was his turn to get past the blockage. And just as he approached it, another car drove in from the side, curved in, and passed him right up. And as he did so, he just had a smirk on his face and gave him an obscene gesture. After doing that, and getting past the blockage, the driver was infuriated. And as he went down the highway, he kept on going, and he came to another place where he had to stop. And the unfortunate thing is that when someone stopped in his infuriation in front of him quickly, he got out of the car. He took his gun and he went and shot him. These things are happening in our nation today. You and I this morning, you and I as Christians, we say, "I would never do such a thing." But I want to ask every one of us, have we ever lost our temper? Do you ever allow things to get to the point where you say things, where you do things, where you say things that you wish you'd never said, and you do things that you wish you'd never done? Well, I believe that the Bible talks to us and explains to us and directs us on how to handle our anger. In Proverbs chapter 19, verse 11, the writer there says, "A man's discretion makes him slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook a transgression." For you and I, this comes as no secret. If someone offends you, And if you are a person of wisdom, and I mean when I say wisdom, I mean a man of God's wisdom, then you overlook it. You don't allow the situation to become something that eventually overwhelms you. This past week, as I saw these things happening in the news, I picked up my Bible and I began to study. What I came away with in that study was there are four types of anger that the Bible deals with. There is the sudden anger. And the Bible says that this kind of anger needs to be controlled. There is the sinful anger. And the Bible says this kind of anger needs to be condemned. There is stubborn anger. And the Bible says that this kind of anger needs to be conquered. And then there is righteous anger. But anger is only righteous if it is channeled and directed by the words of God. So this morning, I want you and I to take the time to help ourselves to understand anger and these four types. First of all, there is the sudden anger. And the Bible says that sudden anger is something that you and I have to learn to control. In Proverbs chapter 14, verse 17, the writer says, "A quick-tempered man acts foolishly, and a man of evil devices is hated." Haven't you and I experienced things like that in our own lives? We may try our best to blame our temper on the color of our hair. We may try to blame our temper on our background or who we are as individuals. Sometimes people are even proud of it. But the bottom line is, if you've got a short fuse, then you're going to do a lot of foolish things in your life. When we lose our temper, we'll say things that we know we shouldn't have never said. And we'll be sorry for it later on. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 18, the writer says, "A hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but the slow to anger calms the dispute." That simply means that if you've got a short fuse, if you're always losing your temper, if you're walking around all the time with a chip on your shoulder, if you're looking for someone to say something to, then you're going to leave a trail of hurt feelings and unhappiness behind you. Will Rogers once said, "Whenever you fly into a rage, you seldom make a safe landing." When you and I hear that, people, that's the truth. Somebody else said, "I got so angry, I gave him a piece of my mind, and it was a piece that I couldn't afford to lose." The writer of Proverbs says, "A hot-tempered man stirs up strife." In Proverbs chapter 18, verse 13, the writer says, "He who gives an answer before he hears, it is folly and shame to him." Here the writer is talking to you and I about jumping to conclusions. We hear a little bit of what's said, and instantly we jump into a conclusion. And oftentimes when we don't hear all of it, it's a wrong conclusion. In Proverbs chapter 19, verse 19, the writer says, "A man of great anger will bear the penalty, for if you rescue him, you will only have to do it again." Which simply means a hot-tempered man must pay the penalty. Doctors tell us every day that when we lose our temper, our blood pressures are rising, our mouths are drying up, and it can even cause our hearts to beat irregularly or cause us to have a stroke. It can even bring us to premature death. A hot temper can also be something that costs us our family and our friends. People, of losing our temper, the penalties are so very many. So the Bible's instruction is, if you have a stubborn and sudden temper, then you need to learn to control it. Well, we might ask, how do you control that kind of temper? We need to recognize that with a problem comes a solution. If we have a problem, then we recognize that we need to deal with it. But because as long as we deny it, as long as we blame our short fuse on whatever we can find, then we will choose never to improve. We've got to be willing to recognize our problem. And we've got to be really willing to confess our problem to God and to go to Him in prayer and to ask Him for His help. You see, the Bible teaches us when the Holy Spirit is willing and we're willing to let it guide our lives. It teaches us one of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control. And if you've got a sudden temper, then you need to learn to control yourself. Second type of anger that's dealt with in the scriptures is a sinful anger. Not all anger is sinful. And we'll talk about more of that in just a minute. But some anger is. So let me give you some tests this morning of how we should deal with that. Let's find out whether our anger is sinful or not. When we think of things like that, let us listen to Jesus when he said in Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 through 22, "You have heard that the ancients were told, 'You shall not commit murder, and whoever commits murder shall be liable to the court.' But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court, and whoever says to his brother, 'You good for nothing,' shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. And whoever says, 'You fool,' shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell." Now, this particular scripture tells us some things about our anger that should help us to realize if our anger is sinful or not. Notice, as Jesus says, anyone who is angry with his brother. Now, if you're a brother or sister to someone, it indicates that you're a member of the same family, whether it's your domestic family or whether it's your family in God. If we're brothers and sisters, we ought to be lifting one another up and encouraging one another. We ought to be supporting each other and helping each other. We should not be spending our time angry with one another. So then if you're angry with your brother, it indicates that you're focusing that anger on a person. We should never focus our anger on a person, but rather the sins that are being committed. Jesus was never angry at people, but he was angry at the choices that they made. We need to look beyond the person with our anger. We need to learn to love the person and hate what they do. And so I ask you to consider this. If you're angry at your brother, if you're focusing your anger on a person, then what it should tell us is that our anger is becoming sinful. The Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verses 19 and 20, "Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord.'" Does our anger sometimes get out of hand so that we focus ourselves on trying to get even? The scriptures teach us that God is the one who has the right to seek revenge for something, not us. The Lord says, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay." We need to learn that the Lord is telling us that we don't have the right to repay evil for evil, but rather we need to be willing to turn all of that over to our Father. You see, if our anger is geared towards seeking revenge, then it is very definitely sinful anger. If our anger is vengeful, then most likely it is an anger that is directed towards someone. It is a grudge that you're holding against someone. And sometimes we even get to the point where we're willing to enjoy it. If you come to that place in your life where you're used to being angry and you progress to the point where you're beginning to just enjoy it, if you cherish that anger, if you hold on to it, then you're certainly dealing with sinful anger. And consider this. If it is an anger that you're cherishing, then it is also an anger that embodies an unforgiving spirit. Remember, the secret to getting rid of an anger is to be able to forgive. But if you can't forgive, if you can't release it, then most assuredly it is a sinful sin. So in summary, there's five tests there that we've talked about for sinful anger. Is it an anger that is directed towards a person? Is it an anger that we feel we've got a justifiable cause? Is it an anger that seeks vengeance? Is it an anger that I cherish? Is it an anger that has in me? Then we need to recognize that we're dealing with sinful anger. And if it is sinful anger, then the Bible says that it is to be condemned and controlled. So if our anger is sinful, then we need to be ready to change. We've got to be ready to repent and turn away from it and allow God to forgive us of it so that we can become forgiving people again. And then there's that third type of anger, the stubborn anger. It's an anger that stays with you. It's one that we seem to have day in and day out. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, "Be angry, and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger." Most times we end our search of the scriptures when we listen to this 26th verse, but we need to listen to the next 8 words in verse 27. "And do not give the devil an opportunity." I ask you to consider this illustration. One day, you go home angry. You're carrying a chip on your shoulder, and you're just waiting for someone to knock it off. Then your wife says something to you, or your husband, that you don't particularly appreciate. And soon, what you've got is heated words being exchanged. It really doesn't amount to much, but you're determined to get your way. and she's determined to get her way. So the argument continues. The sun goes down and nighttime comes. Then you both go to bed. She faces one way and you face the exact opposite way. You're not going to share any space with one another. You're not going to breathe towards one another. You're not going to touch each other. Do you realize what's happened? The Bible says, by the words of the scriptures, you said in your actions, Mr. Devil, come right on in here because we're ready for you. In verse 31, Paul mentions what happens when Satan begins to do his dirty work in your life. He says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice. The first result is bitterness. You begin to think about all the bad things that people say or do to you. All the insults, all the inconsiderate things you have to deal with. Then Paul says, after the bitterness comes wrath and anger. Wrath is like rage. It's bitterness that is boiling and bubbling over inside of you. And then the anger is expressed in that rage. It is no longer then just inside you, but now you're ready to kick the cat or beat the wall. And now you begin to say all kinds of things, and finally it gets to the point of brawling, which means shouting out loudly, slander and insults. And on it goes, back and forth. And it continues and continues, and it never seems to quit. And sometimes we get to the point where we get used to it because we say it's who we really are. Paul says the end of all this is malice. Malice means when you desire to harm someone. And you and I can read this in the news all the time. We see it on the television. We see it even now in commercials, which are made funny. Paul says, you need to get rid of stubborn anger. He says, do not let the sun go down on your anger. And in verse 32, he says, be kind to one another. Tender-hearted, forgiving each other just as God in Christ has forgiven you. So we've learned. There is sudden anger and it needs to be controlled. There is sinful anger and it needs to be condemned. And there is stubborn anger and it needs to be conquered. And then there's righteous anger, which must be channeled in the right direction by God and His words. In other words, you can get upset about something that happens wrongly, and the scripture says, yet do not sin. You must channel that anger through the Lord and His words, and remember the words of the Holy Spirit. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. We've got to live and we've got to learn to forgive. Mistakes will be made in life, but we can't let those mistakes become our lives. This morning in our Bible class, we talked about all the taunting and all the trouble that the Pharisees went through with the things about Jesus. If you were Jesus and you were walking around and every time you turned around, someone was trying to find a reason to accuse you of some wrongdoing so that they could point their finger at you, What did Jesus do? Sometimes we don't listen to the scriptures as it reveals that Jesus was tempted in all things. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin." So the scriptures teach us that Christ dealt with the situation of anger, and yet he did not allow it to cause him to feel sinful anger. The anger that Christ felt was a righteous anger, an anger that was controlled and focused by his Father's word. You and I as the church can feel angry, but we must channel that anger by the Lord. We can be angry about the corruption that we see in the world today. We can be angry with all the forces of evil, terrorism, and people doing ill things towards one another. We can be angry about all the filthy things in pornography that are constantly reaching into every segment of our life and society. We can be angry about the millions and millions of abortions that are constantly being performed. We can be angry because of the increased crimes, murders, and rapes. We can be angry at the abuse of alcohol and drugs in our society. And we can be angry that millions and millions of people are dying without obeying the wonderful blessings that Christ died for. These are angers. These are righteous angers that are led and channeled by what we find in God, in his word. People, there are all kinds of anger. And if you're willing to wrestle with him, God promises you that he will give you victory over them if you will simply listen and follow his word. And so I tell you, be angry, but do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Do not allow the devil to have a foothold in your life, but channel that anger so that it can begin to accomplish new victories for Christ. You and I must live our lives for the Lord each and every day. We must take the things of this life and we must learn to control them and direct ourselves in the paths of righteousness. When I thought of this particular problem in society today, I thought of something that a brother once said in teaching and studying the gospel. He said, "People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care." And that's how life has to be lived, people. Lived by caring for everyone that you come in contact with. You may think that's an overwhelming chore, but it is not something that cannot be mastered by the words of God. Jesus has given us the pure example of how to live a life so that one day you and I can have the confidence that as we close our eyes in death, that you and I will know what it means to fight a good fight. Life just isn't a perusing through the days that we are given. Life is a fight, and you and I have the opportunity by God's word to fight the good fight. Where are you today? Sometimes in life, you and I struggle. But the blessing is, this morning, I pray that you, understanding that Christ Jesus was the Son of God, realize the great joyous opportunity you have today. It is a day that should not have any anger in your heart at all. But it is a day that you can focus yourself on the blessings that come by the Savior. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you believe that He came to this earth and He gave Himself, being the Son of God, He gave Himself in the flesh, and He suffered and He died so that you and I might have the hope of eternal life. Knowing that's how much God prizes you, that should fill your heart with all kinds of joy and should give you that willingness to step out. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and you're willing to repent of life, which simply means you're willing to follow Christ rather than the things of the world, and you're willing to confess that He is the Christ, the Son of God, and be buried with Him in baptism, you can be obedient to the gospel. You can know something that is so much better than the things that you can obtain in this life. You can know the hope of heaven. You can know that your citizenship is now in heaven. You can know the blessings of heaven's gates will one day be your home if you simply reach out to Him. Sometimes along the way of life, sometimes we let things get the best of us. Sometimes we make mistakes. But as long as life has breath, the blessing that you and I have through the Lord is that we can come to Him and repent. He says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you might be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. We have so much to be happy about. Let us not allow the things of this life to ever take that happiness away. Let us focus ourselves on Christ. Will you come? Let us stand.
Mary, the Christ, my blessed Redeemer, dead to the full life, the follies of sin. Satan may call, the world may intrigue me. There is no voice that answers within. Dead to the world, to voices that call me, living anew, obedient but free. Dead to the joys that once did enthrall me, yet is not I, Christ liveth in me. Dead unto sin, alive of the Spirit, risen with Him from the gloom of the grave. All things are new and I am rejoicing in His great love, His power to save. Dead to the world, to voices that call me, living anew, obedient but free. Dead to the joys that once did enthrall me, yet 'tis not I, Christ liveth in me. Think it not strange that things I have pierced just cannot allure me or charm as before. For the flesh with Christ I have suffered. Old things are past, I love them no more. Dead to the world, to voices that call me, living anew, obedient but free. Dead to the joys that once did enthrall me, yet 'tis not I, Christ liveth in me. Sin hath no more its cruel dominion. Walking in newness of life, I am free. which he so richly shareth with me. Dead to the world, to voices that call me, living anew, obedient but free. Dead to the joys that once did enthrall me, yet 'tis not I, Christ liveth in me.
If you'll remain standing after our last prayer, I have one more announcement.
Watch over those of us that are traveling, those that can't be here right now, and especially those who are in need of medical attention. Make sure that the doctors can do all they can for them. We ask you this in our Lord's name. Amen.
Amen. Some of you last week were very successful in your pictures, and they are now posted with your names and information on the website directory. Others of you still have pictures to be taken. So if you did not get your picture taken last week, Jordan says go right out here to the left side of the building over here, and she'll be happy to take your picture today. Thank you.